Welcome back, everybody. This is hour two of our Tellington Tea Touch for You online program, Cellular Wisdom. And today is Sunday, April 26th, 2020. And over to you, Linda.
Yes, thank you very much. And I would like to now have an opportunity to give us an example of how you have used Tea Touch from and seen just a short example of what you would call seems like a miracle, except we know that we can do that. Who has a short story? And did you explain in the beginning how to raise their hand? If they want to be unmuted,
you can either go like this
or we'll see you. That's actually the easiest.
Yeah, you could raise your hand. There is a place at the bottom where it says raise your hand. Or you can physically raise your hand and you can also unmute yourself.
And if there isn't an immediate, we can give you a chance to think about this. Samilia, can you hear me?
And Debbie unmuted herself.
Debbie Potts she's waving with excitement.
Okay, so we'll do Debbie, and then I want, thank you, Debbie, and then I want to hear from Samilia.
Well, Linda, when you talked about feeling like a miracle, it reminded me of when you worked on me after I'd been hit with the bungee cord in my face. And this was a profoundly deep experience for me, because I'd been a Tea Touch instructor for a long time, and I certainly believed this with all of my heart and soul. And I had the experience of getting hit with an overstretched bungee cord that broke away and hit me on the side of my nose. And I had a fracture and laceration, and it's kind of a big injury. But after it healed, if you looked at my face, you wouldn't have known there was anything wrong. But if I touched anywhere around my face, I would have deep radiating pain in through my body, and it would just kind of spread out from my face. This happened the end of November. In February, I was at Linda's home helping with Tea Touch for You workshop. And usually my goal is to just help people. But this time I said, Linda, please, please work on my face. I had tried doing Tea Touch on my face, but whenever I touched anywhere around my face, I would still have this deep radiating pain. And it was such an experience for Linda to work with me. In the beginning, we were really tuned into what my cells were saying. And I talked to my cells, but it was a different experience. And believe it, I love and trust Linda completely. But even when she started to work on me, the information from my cells was much more cautious. And she actually ended up starting between my shoulder blades, and my cells said, yes, that's the safe place.
And so just say, Debbie, so because we kept asking, how far away from the actual injury do we have to begin?
Exactly, Linda. So we just kept checking in, and so starting between my shoulder blades was the place to start. And Linda started working. My injury was on the left side. So Linda came around the right side and actually worked around the right side of my face. And every time we kept checking in, and my cells were sometimes cautious, sometimes okay. At one point, I so vividly felt every one of my cells with question marks in them. Like it was this surprise maybe, or a level of awareness that I hadn't experienced before. And at one point, I think Linda was feeling like maybe a break time would be good. And she said, what would your cells think if we stopped now? And the answer was immediate. I said, they would be so disappointed. And so she continued to work on me. And I'm sorry we didn't record it. I was just talking kind of in a monologue the whole time for the group, just giving them feedback about what I was feeling inside. And once Linda had worked all over the right side of my face, she was going to go to the left side, and my left side was completely fine. So once my cells had experienced this in a way that was less threatening, that information continued to all of the other cells, and the pain disappeared, and I actually took about 45 minutes and just rested. It was such a an integration and cellular sharing. And after that, I could touch my face anywhere, and all of that was gone. And I think it reminds us that something that looks completely healed may not be, and to acknowledge all the different levels that this trauma can be held in our bodies, and how important it is to really trust the cellular feedback and work within what's safe and comfortable.
And could we put up, Sandy, the nine elements, just so I can refer, so that you all understand, because this work we have brought to a point that you can teach it logically. And for those of you, maybe everybody who's new already has a sense of it. So this is a simple mind map. And I love this little, because we didn't want to stretch the mind map out farther. I just suggested curling this back, and don't you like the looks of it? Now, for those of you not acquainted with the mind map, this is basically the Tony Buzan style of mind mapping using color. What's missing here are little images, because the images help to activate both hemispheres of the brain. When instead of having a linear list, which is left brain, which is great, and you can put this in a left brain, but this activates both hemispheres. So we see it from left and right, logically. Now, this is a basis for the work. And what we're talking about right now was, first of all, the feedback. Look at the way you read a mind map. You start on the right and you go down the basic circle, pressure, tempo, mindful pause, connection, the posture you have, the breath, and the intention, and the feedback. And I'm just going to pop around to the feedback, because what I was asking was not how she, Debbie, felt about it, but if your cells could speak, what would they be saying? And believe it, that's like a different thing, because we don't dare, as a rule, when we're working with someone, we don't trust ourselves enough to say, don't go there, because you don't really know. But if you ask your cells, something different happens. So that's with the feedback that we get. And this is different for also, this particular intention here with this class is to teach it for self-help. When, and we have many therapists here who work with other people. Normally, as a therapist, you're taught to do your work in a beautiful way, of course, that you kind of have a, not kind of, but you have a sense of what that person needs. With T-Touch, if we go back, please, again, to the mind map, the intention of that ninth element of the feedback is that we empower you, the person. And for those of you who work with animals, we listen to the language of the animals. In this case, we humans don't, you know, we're polite. We don't pull away, but we can say, and this is why with the feedback scale, we have it from 1 to 10 with numbers, because that activates the logical side, and with letters. And we didn't, we don't happen to have that handy, do you, Sandy? I hate to ask that. I think we'll pull it up later. We'll come back to it later. So after the break, we can just put it up there so we know what we're talking about.
But I'm sorry, have what up there?
It's okay. The feedback, you know, 1 to 10 feedback, but it's okay. We'll come back to this in the third hour. It'll give you a chance if you could.
I do have it. I just didn't.
Oh, okay.
Put it in that moment, because I wasn't sure what you wanted.
I got it. It's just a moment. Look at this, because the logical part of learning this work, it's just like really interesting. So we're talking to the cells. And now go back to the nine elements, please, because I want to look at intention. And our intention is not to heal, but our intention is, and this is where, you know, there's so many beautiful, beautiful healing modalities out there, and they're so helpful and so needed. That is not the intention of T-Touch, is not to heal. The intention is to hold that space to remind that person of their perfection. And if I'm working with somebody with fourth stage cancer or with ALS, and you know that they're toward the end, or they're really in a place of intense fear, they can't hear that perfection at the cellular level. What does that mean? But I can use the words, remember your potential for ideal functioning at the cellular level. And that's what I generally use if I'm working with somebody in intense fear or intense pain. And there's something that happens. That is our intention. And working at this level of cellular wisdom, this concept that every cell in the body knows its function within the body. This was the passion with which Sir Charles Sherrington wrote about this in his book, Man with His Nature. That's what got me into the excitement of, wow, I remember reading that sentence. I know exactly where I was sitting in Morven Thick restaurant in Stuttgart, Germany in 1976. And I sat up, put the book down, looked at my fingers, and I thought, wow, when I don't yet know how to do this amazing Feldenkrais work, because we'd seen Moshe Feldenkrais do miracles in our class. All I have to do is say, cells, just remind this body of its potential for ideal function at the cellular level. Now, when I like take the reel forward all these years, I finally got, thanks to this concept of the divine spark within that translation from Luc Bourdin in the book of Ho'oponopono, I got it. Whoa. Of course, we're talking about this, like this spark within every cell. What else makes it possible? How come I can breathe, speak, the lymph moves, all this stuff works? It is that divine spark. And I want to share with you on the back of this book, because I wouldn't be the person I am if I hadn't, you know, I'm so inspired all these years by some of these amazing visionaries that we've had access to. But Joan King, 20 years, taught cell biology at Tufts University of Medicine, and she heard of this Hindu legend. And the legend is really simple, and it's really valuable in terms of us understanding how we can address the wisdom of the cells. And it was this Hindu legend sometime on the planet at a time not in our understanding, that every human had the power of a god. They could do anything. And then they began abusing it. Sound familiar? And so they had a big powwow, and the chief Brahman said, gathered all these people, all these beings together, and said, we're going to take away from the human being the power that they have because they're abusing it. Same thing the fig tree said, how man abused the power, and that caused the shift and imbalance in the continents. Molecular vibrational rate, frequency of ourselves. So, okay, they said, okay, where are we going to hide this power? Well, someone said, we'll hide it, go to the top of the highest mountain, hide it there. Nah, they'll find it. Okay, you know, well, we'll bury it in the sea. We'll drop it in the deepest part of the sea. Nah, they'll find it. Oh, well, we'll find the deepest cave, and we'll dig deeper, and we'll just cover it over. No, said head Brahman, they'll find it. And then the head Brahman had an idea. I know where we'll find it. hide it. I mean, I know where we'll hide it. And they'll never, ever find it. We'll just put it inside. And that's why the legend goes that people went up and down and searching everywhere for this amazing power, and they could never find it. And it's right within. And this has to do with the fact that we can take the intelligence of ourselves, now understanding that, wow, it's the divine source in all that is. Look around. Look at the beauty. Look at, I mean, this amazing nature that we have here. And we have the potential to access that just from, you know, energy. What Greg Braden writes in his book, The Spontaneous Healing of Belief, every thought we have, you know, every feeling, every emotion, every belief that we have, every word we speak, of course, that has energy. And just this thought that, wow, this recognition of that divine intelligence within. And it reminds me of a story I was teaching in a class a few years ago, and a young, wonderful young woman who's a lawyer for helps people who can't afford law. She supports people who need help. But she considered herself to be an atheist. And she said one day in the class, I remember exactly the moment when she said it, she said, you know, I can't believe it in source energy. But she said, when I see you treat your body and connect in this way, something different is happening. And that's why each in our own way, when we connect to this amazing, nature has it, it's in nature. When we see it, it's just, you know, connecting to that source energy in all that is. That's our opportunity right now. So I would like to just hear, if any of you dare, I know it's hard in a group, but some of you have been here long enough that you may be willing to share something that you got today from the process that we've done, from the body blessing, or a question that you have. Questions and
Linda, yes. Sandy, Cindy raised her hand a while ago, so she might want to share something. So I'm
going to go, Cindy.
I can unmute you, Cindy. And I'm trying. So you might be on an iPad because I can't.
I'm on a computer and I had to click the unmute thing. So I just wanted to share a story. I've been doing this work for over 30 years. So I have a lot of people and animal stories. I was an animal technician. I worked with animals and after a while worked with people too. But the story that came to me was, I live in a condo and the guy downstairs went on vacation out of the country and he had two kitties that I took care of and everything was going fine. And then I go down one day and one of the kitties is laying in his bedroom, which wasn't normal. And her body was warm and she seemed like she wasn't breathing quite right, and I just couldn't really kind of nail what was going on. I didn't, you know, I checked everything and there didn't seem to be any pain. I got a sense that she might have gotten into a plant or something and gotten poisoned. So he didn't have any vet information for me to take it to a vet, and I was able to contact him and he said to contact his dad. So in the meantime, I just trusted, I know that I can trust this work, and I worked on this kitty and I started out doing body work and then I worked on her ears and she seemed to be doing a lot better, but still, you know, not completely out of the woods. So his dad came and checked on her the next day and I was like, how is she doing? He's like, oh, she's fine. She's normal. She's acting. She's running around and playing and everything. And so I was just like so grateful that I was able to be able to make a change because I was really concerned that she was possibly on her last legs or and was going downhill fast. But as soon as I started doing the work, she responded to it really well. So, yeah, that's just one of the experiences that I've had with this.
Her body and then the ear, T-touch on her ear, the slides in the base of the ear.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people don't know when you say the work, what you mean.
Well, I did like abalone all over her body first, and then I did the slides and the circles on her ears.
Great. Yep. Thank you. So thank you very much. And
her body temperature did change too during that time, and so I knew that I could feel that I was making a difference and changing her. And then there was kind of a connective story with a person that I was working with, that she came up to me and she said, "Cindy, I hear that you do some T-touch work and stuff." And and she said, "My arm is really warm and I don't know what's going on with it." And I had seen a show like a week before that talked about allergies and toxins in the body can sometimes cause heat. And I said, "Have you eaten anything that you don't normally eat?" And she said, "As a matter of fact, I did. We had a potluck and I had some things that I haven't eaten before." And I said, "I think you're having an allergic reaction to something." So I worked on her and I told her to drink lots of water to flush out the whatever's going on. And she came back the next day and said she was fine. So that, again, that really helped with her as well. So
thank you, Cindy. And the idea is, when anything is off in the body, first of all, with allergies, what we've discovered is that you can do ear T-touch in the various forms. And we're going to bring in the third segment, we're bringing the vagus nerve in here. We might do it before, but just working on your ears, T-touching your ears. And over the years, we've been doing this so long, instead of calling it ear work, which is what we're all used to, it's ear T-touch. Because if I say ear work, that could be anything, you know, acupressure, acupuncture, and it's ear T-touch. And when we do this, as I hope most of you know, we can affect the entire body just from doing T-touch on the ears, working with the ears. And when anything is off on the body, doing the along the rim of the ear, this is where I have found I can affect the whole immune system with these. I'm doing little circles with thumbs behind. Just try this on your ear. And your folded forefinger, I'm using the side here, and this is a part, it's one of the T-touches we call the camel. And I'm just holding with the thumb and doing a little circle along the edge. I have used this, I think the most interesting story I've ever had was in the hospital in Vienna, where the brother of one of my dear friends was, they thought, dying of malaria. He'd been in the Vienna hospital for 3 weeks and he wasn't doing well at all. And for 2 hours, today I would have worked on his whole body, but I just focused on that ear. And I did some in the whole ear and the inside, all the parts, but the primary thing I focused on was that rim, and he walked out of there. Elmer Martin, I think you knew him.
Well, I remember your colic story with your horse, and so one thing with the kitty is I was concerned that she might have an impaction too.
Yep.
So that was why I did that.
You did that.
Long ago, before we really, before you expanded this out into so much more.
Right. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much.
It worked, and that was, That was,
thanks. No.
Yeah. I would love for us to look at Catherine Seal, if we could look at what, or I can read it to you, because while her husband is out, maybe you can give her some helpful hints here. when she can do, asking, can you help me? My ex-husband is in huge amounts of back pain and has been for entire 20 years of the relationship and before. I will and never, that's what she says, has been allowed, or that he's allowed me to do T-touch with him. In fact, he is picking up the boys at this moment. During the break, I offered again and again, and he right out refused. He brought me Tim's, I'm not sure, with additives. So I'm wondering if we could unmute Catherine, and because wouldn't it be nice to be able to help her? Catherine, there we go.
Hello.
Hi, Catherine. So one of the basic principles, you can work on yourself and connect with his higher self through you, but without his permission, it's not ever acceptable to do anything without permission for anyone else. So one of the things that I feel with you that would be helpful is, have you been following us with the Ho'oponopono? Do you know the concept?
Yeah.
Yes, because forgive yourself for whatever parts you have. Because it's, in German, I love this term, it's not my beer. It means it's not my business. Because we cannot affect someone else or work on them without their permission. And just know, work on yourself. And just whatever you talk to your own selves, your own back, you know, and really use this opportunity for this. And for those of you who don't know, it's a basic, whichever order you want, you know, I'm sorry, you know, talk to yourself. Please forgive me, you know, that you haven't been able to help him. Maybe whatever comes to you. Thank you for that forgiveness. Yeah. And I love you. I love this divine within me. You can, however you want to use that. And we each have our own path. Yeah. And it's just put that out to his, and make an offering to his higher self and ask if that might be a possibility. And just keep forgiving yourself for whatever role that you have in this, because we're all connected.
You know, Linda, you talk about cell-to-cell communication, and I feel like when you guided Catherine through this in the love in her own cells and to feel that in her own back, that in her cells, that his cells could receive that. And then he may just notice it. It's just, he may suddenly notice something shifting, and then in an offering may be able to receive that yes to you.
And let us remember, this is about unconditional love. Waiting for an answer is conditional. And this brings up a point that I'd like us to look at now. I asked in the beginning, how many of you were aware of this concept of, you know, shifting at some time on the planet? We're looking for a shift from the third dimension, where fear and separation, that's what has run us. And we have this in every cell in our body from the time, our recorded time on this, in this era on the planet. And going to this place of, I don't use the word unconditional love with it, because unconditional has the word conditional in it. So that's still in the third dimension of fear and, you know, fear and separation, but of universal acceptance and understanding and oneness with all beings. And you can just hold that field yourself, and whatever part of him is ready, just like this person, I never talked to her. It's not my business what she believes, this young lawyer, but it's in the field. And when Heart Math Institute, if anybody here does not know about Heart Math Institute, please take the time to Google it and look and see what they do, because they have been researching this for, and I think it's 24 years now, how our heart field affects everything around us. So really feel that deep, deep love, that universal love, love for this amazing beings we are. So I hope that that will give you another whole level to appreciate yourself and hold. And this is where quantum science is so important, because Catherine, you can hold the infinite possibility that he, his higher self, some part of him will pick that up and dare to start loving himself and accepting himself. Yeah. Then it gives you something very active. And I want you to, oops, sorry. I want you to think about this, how we're definitely not helpless. This beautiful little book, The Secrets of the Lost Mode of Prayer by Greg Braden. And this concept from a little book called Uncommon Prayer from Ruth L. Miller. This concept, and I want you to feel this, in between the stuff that makes up the universe, we're talking, yeah, this is all the stuff, the stars, da-da-da, everything that makes up the universe is not just empty space. Holding it all together is a wonderful, rich quantum field. Many scientists call this, out of this field comes all energy and all matter. Anything that's solid, appears to be solid, is matter, and everything else is energy. Many scientists call this intelligence with a capital I, or consciousness with a capital C, and much of the world calls it God. Deepak Chopra calls it the field of infinite possibilities. And Catherine, this is what you can hold. We can all hold this for ourselves. This, out of this field comes infinite possibilities. And when we come to the place of stillness within, like the stillness of the prayer state or the meditation state, that we too help to form the shapes that appear in the field, which means we can, with our energy, thoughts, beliefs, feelings, emotions, we can influence that field. And if we influence not from the place of condition, that's why when we work with somebody with T-Touch or ourselves, now it's not to fix it, but wow, it's to hold the potential for that perfection, that just means to me today, that means connecting with this creative cellular wisdom, source energy that brings us all together. Now, I want to go back to the logical parts that make this T-Touch effective. And let's go back. Sandy, can you put up the one that we created in Vienna when I worked with Bruce Lipton, that 1 1/4 circles? I'm moved from one computer to the other, so I don't have it handy.
I actually don't have that on my computer.
Because I forgot to send it to you. Hold on, I'm going to hold it up.
I'll just say, while she's gone, am I still muted or?
Yeah. No.
Can you hear me?
No. Yes, we can hear you, Catherine.
Yes.
I'll just say, while she's gone, in response, that was wonderful. And one of the things that really helped me that she said at first, at the beginning, was to forgive myself, because, yeah, to, yes, I haven't been able to, that's very moving to me. She's gone.
Can you say that again? Because you're breaking up.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I was just saying, a lot of the things really resonated for me. Also the, like the holding the potential of perfection and holding that higher field. And that's really wonderful, because I do feel hopeless, and I had felt hopeless with him, because I knew I've been involved with T-Touch since I was 11. And so, cause I grew up at Robin's place basically. But, so I had this, I had this knowledge and this gift, but I could never share it with him. And it kind of also, you know, broke my confidence about it as well. So that was really wonderful. Thank you. And forgiving myself for not being able to help him in a way that I thought I could. Yeah, that was helpful. Really, the forgiving myself, that actually I felt that. That was wonderful, actually. Yeah. Because I felt also guilty that I could help him, but he wouldn't let me. And I felt that, yeah. So, yeah.
And this is so beautiful. Thank you, Catherine, because this concept of shifting from the third dimension where, you know, fear, we are, I mean, I have done an amazing regression when I saw that every cell in our body is I don't like to use the word program, because that sounds like from the outside. No, we are holding the fear in every cell in our body of all beings on the planet. Interesting. And when I did this regression at the Light Institute years ago in the 80s with Chris Griscom, I said, okay, so I see that. And when I choose to release that fear logically, and I know that we can release it at the cellular level, by the way, and that's another story how I got to that, but Candace proved it in her book, Molecules of Emotion. She talks about fear being held in the cells, and we just think it's in our head. She did amazing work. But the fact is that we can connect through this whole field and connect with the fifth dimension of universal understanding and acceptance of all beings. Now, look, I want to show you something, because all of you who've been doing this work all these years are working in any way with compassion with people or animals. This is an award that I got. It's called the Peace Run Award, the Torchbearer Award that was started by Sri Chinmoy. And he was this amazing being. And I received this in Vienna last March for the body of work that brings compassion and understanding to the work of animals. So all of you who reach out and have been doing this understanding with animals and working in this way are part of that. It's a body of work. It's not for me. It's for the body of this work with understanding. And so it's so interesting. In the mid-80s, I attended the One Earth Gathering in Australia. And I'm going to give you a piece of what I learned from this that could be helpful, but what I've been working on ever since. And people at that gathering, they came with a made-up passport that just said One World. And look at you all. This is what we have, thanks to this terrible, you know, on the one hand, this incredible fear that we're injected with from the virus, and which is pretty, you know, pretty important to understand, is how many doctors are coming on and saying, look at, I mean, it's a terrible thing, but on the other hand, there are many, many people who have it and they're not these symptoms. So one of the problems that we're dealing with that I want you all to also think about is the fear factor, because the fear injects this really deep stuff in our bodies. And how do we, and it's not just protecting, it's protecting against it, but how can we go beyond protecting against it? How can we increase our cellular vibrational rate? That's the message that I've been getting from that One Earth Gathering. Because it was a week together, about 100 people from many parts of the planet. Peter Caddy from Findhorn was the person who invited me there. And we had people from the Philippines. We had them from all over. And a week after the gathering, a group of us rented some vehicles and we drove out together and camped along the way and went to Uluru, that big red rock in the center. And each of us went and sat and meditated and spent time together and alone. And I was walking with my journal. This is this little journal that has made such a difference in my life because I trusted in writing the words that I got. So I'm walking along with my open journal in the Olgas, which is just about 26 kilometers from the big red rock, Uluru. And I write, so, okay, well, what were we really doing at this One Earth gathering? What, why were we really there? And what I wrote is to shift your molecular vibrational rate. Okay. So, and then I'm thinking, right? I think, well, what does that mean? And so then I wrote, and so how do I do that? And then I wrote something like, increase your, speed up your frequency, like, and so then I wrote, so how do I do this? And what I wrote is, and this is what I've been doing ever since the mid-80s, by the books you read. And that's when I quit reading novels and I just started looking for ways of learning, yeah. Just what came to me. From the books you read, from the music you listen to, from the colors you wear, interesting, yeah. From the people you associate with, from the food you eat, and from the thoughts you have. And I thought, well, I can do that. And it's so interesting. I don't know how many of you have paid attention to your colors, but I then 25, 30 years ago, I went to Dr. Byrne to see what I could do with my eyes. And he had me look in a kaleidoscope and he said, now, what are the colors you love? And I'd like each of you to, just for the fun of it, write down in the chat, just take a moment. And what are your favorite colors? Just write that. Like pick two of your favorite colors. It helps when we actually actualize by writing it down. So my favorite colors, what I said to him, is they're green and purple. And he said, well, how do you feel about red and orange? I said, oh, I don't like them at all. And he said, well, until you learn to love them, you cannot be grounded. And that was really a problem with me because those were in the days when I was doing all of this galactic traveling and all this stuff. And it's really, I came to a point where I said, no, I'm meant to be in the human body. That's my purpose for being here. But I really started practicing with red and orange and yellow and every color wearing it. And today, I mean, I could eat it. I love it. And because it has to do with all of our chakras and each part of our body that is connected with that. And so that was really helpful, this concept. And having those ways of, now I understand. So about the fear, why I started telling you this is about the fear. How do we deal with this? You can put protection around you, which is one of the things I actually did, which I normally don't do because I'm feeling it so much right now. And it's a standard. I'd love to know how many of you have heard of this. I even heard about it in Russia. It was standard when I worked there 10 times as a citizen diplomat in the 80s. It's like I'm encapsulated in a bubble of light. Only light can be in my bubble and only light can enter my bubble. And if you're a Christian, it's Christ light. It's, you know, if your knowing and connection is with the planet, it's whatever that light is, bring that light in. So that's a protection, but you can go way beyond that. And that's what I started doing. I realized that in order to protect myself, and I got this in a a dream that was unbelievable, I found out, whoa, wait a minute, I have to put a cork in my navel, because this is where the emotions come in. So put a cork in my navel and open the connection to my higher self so that I can just connect into these silver cords that connect to my higher self. And feel the breath of Mother Earth. And I'd like you just now, I'd like us to stand up a moment and just imagine this, because I have done so much of this. And you start with the breath of the earth. And just, I would take my arms out, and I remember standing watching in this big trees in New Mexico with the wonderful vultures that nest there at night. And in the morning, they come up and they rise up with the wind takes them up. They don't need to fly. They just put their wings out and the drafts take them. And so I brought my hands down and I took down into the earth, and I brought the breath of my earth, of the earth, up into my body. And really imagine, let's all imagine where you would like to be standing. And each one of you, you'll create all of us with you in whatever that is. I'm going, just each one, we're all going to be there in circle in your own ideal spot, and feel and move your feet. Like, imagine you're like I am, I'm barefoot right now, just feeling the earth, bring the breath up through the center of our body and send it out through the top of your head, out to the farthest reaches of the universe. And I would take my arms and go way, way out to the farthest reach and down the universe and come up through the bottom of the earth and up through my body. And I did this for many months in the 80s and the 70s. And now you can go the other way. Let's take our arms out and reach up and bring this amazing, this channel of light, column of light into the top of our head, through, down through the center of each centers of your body, these beautiful centers, into the earth, straight down through all, connect your whole body through your feet, down through the earth, out around the universe, and come back into your heart, and just in your own preferred direction, just three heart hugs, deep breath. Just take a moment and write this for yourselves. It's just, if you could write it in the chat, and it'd be great to share, or write it for yourselves. Sandy asked you to bring something. Write this down, actually. Write it for yourselves first. So it would be lovely if, Eleanor, if you could just read some of these. They're just beautiful.
My pleasure. Oh, my goodness. I was, beautiful.
Let's just read them.
I know. Okay. Read them out loud.
Yes.
Yeah, I know. I was just excited. So Saskia said her feet are very heavy now, that she feels more whole. And Sage says she has a happier heart. And another is lightheaded. Another one is, I feel a sense of hope. Feeling more hopeful. Feel more connected to the earth. Someone wants to know that, what was that again? I'm encapsulated in what?
A bubble of light. Bubble only of light can enter my bubble, and only light can be in my bubble.
Then another says, my body and head feel lighter, filled with light, feeling grounded and expanded. Ooh, I feel hot. I get less balanced, bringing the energy from the universe to the earth. Light, peaceful, grounded, more buoyant. There are so many transformational beings with us that we can't see, but can, if we use our intuition and are here to help us, legends like Sasquatch that we don't need to feel fearful of, but can connect with like light, our fairies, etc. I feel a full light.
Thank you so much. And look at this, I want to share this with you. Our house is full of fairies that I've been found over the years. Look at this. This is a little female fairy riding on a dove, and I have a little male fairy riding on a beautiful black raven. And this, what I wanted to say about this connection that we have, we can be encapsulated in a bubble of light, or we can raise our molecular vibrational rate. We can spin ourselves, raise our frequency. And this is what we need to, this is where I feel that we can come to keep ourselves balanced and whole from what's going on around us, because the fear factor is just the fear has so much effect on us, because we're all programmed, we all have this in ourselves, it's part of who we are. And our opportunity, when we replace that consciously with universal creative love, not only do we shift ourselves, but when we remember our connection, our oneness with all it is, each one of us from every thought we have does make a difference on the planet. And that's really important. That's the wonderful messages that Greg Braden has been bringing in his books for years. And Lynn McTaggart, this concept of her really helpful descriptions of quantum science and, you know, why it's so important to understand, to get that. So this is like, there's another way you can do it that I learned in a healing class with Jerry Jambalski and Diane. And we were in a class in Australia in the 80s and the 90s, I guess it was. And what we learned, and I did this in big groups, I know many of you are teachers, I would go into a group and, and often we'll have people, I don't have this anywhere, but this is the protection against somebody who says, either they want to give you their power, no, we don't want their power. So, or they want to take, that was the thing, they want to argue with you, whatever. This is something I did in the 90s. I don't have to do this anymore, because I simply spin my vibrational rate and I hold that connection to the universe. So anybody looking at us, when we have these, they can feel at their cellular level. So you just put a mirror around you. I learned this from these amazing people who were leading our course. It was a soul retrieval course in Australia. You put a mirror around you. Just imagine this mirror, and when somebody looks at you, they can't see you. They can only see their higher self. It's a reflection back only to their higher self. And so that's our intention. That's why it's so important, I think, this work of intention and in the work that Lynn McTaggart has given us, of all the studies that show how intention works. spinning ourselves with those, what I gave you, you know, what I've been practicing all these years, every thought, color, all these, that list, putting the mirror up and calling in all your guides and angels, all your guardian angels. For me, I've had a particular, not because of religion, but I've had a particular connection from Sirius and the Christ energy that comes from there, the energy of forgiveness. And that's what I put in my capsule of light when I do that.
Linda?
Yes.
Can you describe that, the mirror again? Because I think so many of us need it or could help use it in our tools.
Yes. Yes. And the work we're doing, even online, you can put that up there. You just put up this mirror, and the intention in the mirror is that when anybody looks at you, instead of like giving away their power to you, you just shine that mirror back and they simply see their higher selves. That's our intention in it. And Catherine, this is something you can do with your husband. So it's just putting your mirror up, and he can't see you. He can only see his higher self, whatever that is for him. You know, that's his choice. And that this is true for all of us. We're all perfect. And that's what this is about. I think that's why I love this format so much, because, wow, that's what the empowerment of T-Touch is. This 1 1/4 circle. 1 1/4. Now, I'd like to just put up before our break, because we've just about gone another hour, but I want us to put up the animal names and the pictures, because I want, first, let me show you this. Now, this is the 1 1/4 circle, and it's the, I forget what it's called, it's a new form, rather than normal mind mapping, it's called the Parisi or something, and Andre Freiling is a PhD scientist guy, who's also a T-Touch practitioner, and I asked him to do this, and this shows the 1 1/4 circles. It has the numbers on it to activate the right brain. This will go up, and you'll have it. You'll be able to see it in the on the website. And you notice on the numbers activate the logic, which we need. And on the left is feeling and compassion. And then the one you're going to get also intuition and creativity, because those are the four aspects that are generally accepted for activation from the left brain. And this cell wisdom and heart coherence is what we get. And that's all part of T-Touch. And that's what we're doing when we do this 1 1/4 circle in the heart hug with the breath and the gratitude and the smile. Now, it brings us to a place of heart coherence, which is our ideal state for being healthy, for healing. So let's just put up, and I'm just going to put it up there. We'll leave this here. We'll take our 10-minute break, and you'll see when we come back. These are the animals that go with the T-Touch names. And thank you, Lisa, for putting this together. And when you see them, we'll talk a little bit about some of these after with me. Do you have the other one with just the names? Because we haven't yet figured out this. Look at this wheel. And these are all the different T-touches and the different parts of the hand that identify which part you're using. And the idea is, when I just think, oh yeah, well, I'm when I pull my fingers up like this and I use a contact between the first and second joint, that's the chimp touch. And when I just think of a chimp, and it's a little 2-month-old chimp that I worked on in the San Diego Zoo many years ago, but I'm just putting that out there to you, I activate my right brain And I bring the spirit of the animals into this with every one of these different touches that has a connection to an animal. And in this way, that's what activates the fourth dimension. Because I don't know about the rest of you, but I must have been asleep somewhere because I always knew about the third. I mean, always since the 70s, 80s. Third dimension, yeah, fear, separation. Fifth dimension, this universal love, acceptance, and, you know, understanding. But what was the middle? And the middle was all that working in the other realms with the angels, with all of our guides, with the communication, with the animals, the nature. That's the fourth dimension. And that's what many, many of you have been doing, as I have for all these years. Let's take a break, 10-minute break, and come back.
So it's, let's come back at, we're after, at 25 after.
Gotcha.
And Linda, do you